Morgan from Diamond Knights, how are you doing today?
Fine. This is the first Australian interview I've done in a while that I wasn't completely drunk.
And I've actually heard that you've got a bit of a reputation for being party animals, I guess would be the cliche term.
You know, party animals is like part of it, maybe. I don't know. But I think really a big part of what how we kind of engage that kind of most animal side of ourselves to you know, be able to spend every day of your life like on tour and away from your home and all that stuff. I think you really kind of have to just love being out in the world, exploring and, you know, meeting people and throwing a big party for the people who are coming to see you play.
Do you subscribe to like the one-off, one-on rule of touring, where like you can like get totally wasted one day, but you've got to be like, you've got to just stay sober the next so you can like give your body time to recover?
No.
No?
I thought that was necessary, but this last tour I just did 3 months of every night on. I mean, I'll take a one night off every 7 days, not on purpose, but just because there's nothing to do. Like, you might be in a very sleepy town, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Like, rock and roll is just like a test in endurance, I think. Just
oh,
see
for
how
sure.
much that you can take.
I mean,
take.
That's why you need that carrot for your animal side, because I think any conscious or logical or sensitive person is going to wimp out in the first, you know, 3 days of it.
You were saying before about you just like going out and meeting people and that's part of the life and stuff. I actually read an interview with you that you said that one of the best parts of the show is coming off the stage and shaking the hands of fans and stuff like that, and that sometimes they invite you to go over to their houses and stuff. I was wondering, have you ever been tempted to actually do that? Because I know like a couple of years ago, the Foo Fighters went to somebody's house in England, like a fan of theirs, and did this show in the kitchen. So have you ever been tempted to like take them up on the offer and go to their houses? Like
they... Oh, I always do it.
Oh, really? So if somebody says, hey, Morgan, come to my house, you're like, shit, yeah, dude, I'll be there in 5 minutes.
Well, it depends. I mean, like, I guess it depends on if all the bars are closed, you have no choice. And if there are a lot of people are going, then I'll go. But if it's just like to hang out with one person,
that's probably a little creepy.
I've gone to a million people's houses, of course. Every time we're in town, we usually get taken out by a group of people, and it usually ends up at somebody's house in the long run, you know?
That's really cool. I like bands who like hang out with their fans and stuff like that. I think that's so great.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I'm actually not looking forward to that point in my career where I've completely lost touch with what it's like, what's important about touring. But, you know, I know inevitably, I'm sure something... some point you just get kind of sick of it, but it's fairly new for me, you know?
Yeah. So you've been touring Europe and America, because I don't think you've been to Australia before, have you?
No.
So mainly Europe and America. Like, which country do you think receives you better?
Well, I think there are plenty of places in my home country that receive us fairly well, but when we play in Germany, people go apeshit. People are great rock and roll music fans there, and I doubt it's just our band. Germans love music, and they love foreign music, and they're really dedicated fans, and they get really excited and have a great time at shows. I've met, you know, a fair amount of Australians, and I know just from the personality of Australians, they have to be great.
Oh, yeah. Well,
must be a great place to play.
We've got, like, a rock and roll heritage, pretty much, like, dirty pub rock. So I was listening to your music earlier, and I think you'll probably go down well. Do you like to mess around? Okay, I've got a question about your video clip.
That video was made actually by a fan of ours in Liverpool, and he just came to one of our shows, and he showed it to us, and it blew us away. And we were with another band at the time, and they want him to do something for them as well.
Wow. That's really dedicated for your fans to like make the video for you and just show up and be like, hey, look what I've done.
Yeah, and I mean, he did a great, it's such a simple concept, and yet it works so well with the song, and it's, you could take such a simple idea, and he condensed an entire movie.
Into like 3.5 minutes.
Yeah.
I know that you get a lot of like 70s revivalist sort of tags put on you guys. Does that bother you, or do you like, are you happy with that? Because some people get so touchy when they get compared to other bands, but are you fine with the 70s revivalist tag?
Yeah, I'm fine with tags. I mean, like, I could never pretend that you're going to put yourself out into the world and put your, you know, make a creative thing and put it out in the world for people to buy and respond to and not let people make their own decisions on what it sounds like, you know? I mean, but at the same time, I don't like the fact that it's called a 70s tag because that's not how I perceive it at all.
How do you perceive
also,
it, then?
Oh, I'm just, you know, like, I think my job is just to kind of be honest about where my inspiration comes from. Not to be honest and give it away, but just to be, like, if I want to write this kind of song, I want to write this kind of song. And yeah. I don't think there's ever been any intention, like, from the band or from me to make a 70s retro. I think, if anything, we've tried to at least put our blinders on a little bit as to what's been going on in the world in general, and become part of, and write music that's part of a larger kind of historical continuum. Like, I just feel like I would love to have a band that after three records, people had no way of understanding where you're coming from specifically, but that you still spoke to them in a way that, you know, that gave you, you know, some kind of popular acclaim, you know, that it still worked. I think, and really the kit of parts we work with comes from everywhere, I'm sure, you know, like it comes from children's music. I put a children's song on the end of my record because I felt like that was the best way to put a listener to bed at the end of a record. I have a song, I think of the songs that are kind of very much inspired by like the Mills Brothers, but then, you know, additionally inspired by things like Black Sabbath, which is one of my favorite bands of all time, and T-Rex maybe, and then kind of even sillier things, I think, that most people regard as silly, but still great, you know, songs came out of it. Things like, you know, I'm inspired by Billy Squire and Rick Springfield and Hall & Oates. Yeah. But then further back, I think we do a live cover of a song by Gary U.S. Bonds from time to time called New Orleans. And that's, you know, that's a late 50s, early 60s song. So, I think really there's a retro tag there, and it's unfortunate for us, but I think it's fair enough, you know, because really it's not up to me as to how the world takes me. I think it's a great challenge, you know, if somebody puts a tag like that on you, to try to kind of redefine yourself and break their...
preconceptions.
Their preconception, yeah.
That's a beautiful way of looking at it. Okay, I've got three more questions, and then I'm totally done.
Okay.
All right, first of all, question. You mentioned just before that, like, you're really into Sabbath. What do you think, like, this is a really cliche question, but I'm just curious. What would be, like, your top three albums in that case?
I always go back, you know, I think even though I love Black Sabbath, I think when I go back and think about the records that may have had the biggest impact on me, they're kind of, like, a little bit different. And they're records that I still listen to. And I still listen to Black Sabbath all the time, but... I started listening to music fairly early. Like, I think I started really getting into collecting records and listening to records when I was maybe like 6 or 7. And I really loved Donovan. I had A Gift from a Flower to a Garden I listened to it over and over. I know the songs by heart. The first record I went out and bought with my own money was Emergency by Kool & the Gang.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great album. It's, you know, it's like kind of black music trying to be rock music, and it's a great kind of in-between moment for that, you know. Another one is I love this record by Moondog, and I don't know how popular he is in the world in general, but he was a New York street musician who was blind.
He was blind, yeah.
And so you know of him. He's known,